This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Rick, I mean, you're looking at going to sleep at 11:30 tonight.
Yeah, that's great.
Got to push through it, man.
Yeah, but now we're stacking days.
Nobody told you to be a psycho when it comes to putting together your mock draft. That was a choice you made. DCR listeners want to hear our thoughts on what they think is going to happen. They want to know.
They do.
They want us to do a mock draft.
And we gave it to them.
No, see, you want it. I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
The listeners don't want it.
You want it.
I wanted it.
Yeah, see, you two wanted it.
You want it. Let me give it to you properly.
This is DCR.
You guys wanted it, both of you. You want it.
I want it bad.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I love you, but you are really one large baby, DiPietro. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance.
I don't want to do the mock draft. It's not fair. Why do we have to do the mock draft? I don't want to do the mock draft
because it's fun. That's why. Little fun, little levity on the show. Why is that so terrible?
I think you need to redefine fun.
Are you having fun, Chris?
It's a blast, Dave. I love
Thank you.
I love it.
I am as well. All right. Let's have more fun. The NFL Draft Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group and the Macallan Double Cast 12-year-old single malt scotch. Laugh away. I don't care. My dear friend, good buddy, maybe best friend, Matt Miller joins us here to break down the draft on 98.7. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Great to be back with you.
Well, I mean, it's like Christmas morning. This is big stuff. Today's the day we've been waiting for forever, Matt.
It is. There's a weird sense of relief. I finished my seven-round mock draft last night, and it was just like the greatest feeling in the world. You look around in an empty hotel room like, did I finally just, you know, finish for another year? It's bittersweet, though, because, you know, you spend a year almost evaluating these prospects and learning about them, and then it's all over in 3 days, you know. So it is kind of a weird sensation, but I'm excited to see what happens tonight. I think, you know, there's a lot of intrigue, even though we know who the first two picks will be, and we're pretty sure who the third pick will be. There's a lot of intrigue out there tonight.
So tell us about the third pick, because we did our mock draft, and we started earlier at 5:30 this morning, and Rick and I both went with Mac Jones, and Chris did not. He thinks that Trey Lance goes three. So how confident are you that Jones goes three overall?
Not as confident as I was a week ago. I will say that. I still think it's in the 90s, you know, percentile that it's Mac Jones. And I can understand with, you know, like with Chris going with Trey Lance. I've talked to a lot of people the last couple of days, and they're kind of saying the same thing of like, they can't really have traded up for Mac Jones. And I didn't get to hear Chris's explanation on the mock draft, but I think that's where a lot of people are at right now. They're like, man, there's no way, right, that they traded up for Mac Jones. But I do think that weird press conference that Kyle Shanahan had, where he like preemptively defended what they were going to do and said he doesn't care about social media or the fans or the experts, they're going to pick who they're going to pick. To me, that was a man saying, I'm about to do something that no one's going to agree with, but I'm doing it because it's the player I want. I don't think you do that if it's Trey Lance. So maybe we're all reading into it too much and we need a good night's sleep before this thing you know, gets here. But it does seem like everything is pointed to Mac Jones. If it were Trey Lance, it would be a big surprise. I guess not a complete shock, though.
Yeah, but I think we all feel the same way. I mean, you're going to trade two extra first-round picks and a third-round pick. I guess it didn't feel, maybe he sees something that the rest of us don't, but it didn't feel like he had to trade all the way up to three if Mac Jones was the guy. But hey, listen, he's Kyle Shanahan, he's one of the brightest guys in the league, maybe he knows better than us. But let's just say for the sake of my question, Chris is right and Dave and I are wrong, and Trey Lance goes with the third overall pick. How far do you think Mac Jones potentially would slide in a situation like that?
I don't know that he would slide as much as a lot of people think. I mean, I don't feel like Atlanta would draft him, but I think we would see a similar situation like what we're seeing with Justin Fields. You know, would New England trade up? Would Detroit draft him, you know, outright? Would Denver draft him outright? So I think it's whomever that fifth quarterback is, it's really a similar conversation of who's going to stop the slide of the fifth quarterback. And, you know, like, would Mac Jones make it to Chicago? I don't think so. I think somebody would pull the trigger way before then. But it is an interesting conversation, and it's kind of like an important thought exercise, right? Of like, okay, well, if San Francisco doesn't draft this guy, who does? I will say this. I feel badly for Mac Jones. I don't think any player has taken more unnecessary heat this draft process, because a lot of people, like myself, feel like he's not the third best quarterback in this draft. And so when explaining why he's going to be the pick at three, you almost end up like running him down instead of saying, well, there are a lot of things he does really well. You know, he's accurate, he's smart. I think he's the most accurate quarterback in the draft, honestly. Those things have unfortunately not been talked about a lot, because we're all trying to, you know, explain why it would be Trey Lance for us, or why it would be Justin Fields for us, instead of looking at like, okay, what, Mac's actually like a really, really good fit in this defense.
Yeah, Matt, I'm with you. I understand that people have been criticizing Mac Jones, and the kid hadn't even been drafted yet. They're saying that he's going to get overdrafted. So I'm with you on that one. But I want to ask you about a player that's gotten probably the most amount of love during the pre-draft process in Kyle Pitts. You know, a lot of people say that he's going to be the first position player off the board, and they're thinking that that's going to happen at four with the Atlanta Falcons. But what is the likelihood that the Falcons would make that pick as opposed to trading down?
Yeah, I think they would like to trade down, but it does really seem like as we get pretty close here that it will be Kyle Pitts. I know some people close to the organization have reportedly been told that it will be Kyle Pitts, but you know how that stuff goes today. Everybody has heard something, it seems like. Mm-hmm. So I do think it will probably be Kyle Pitts, though, just as they attempt to load up, you know, for one more run. And we'll see what happens with Julio Jones. I think that's an interesting side plot to this. If they draft Kyle Pitts, do they feel like Julio Jones is inexpendable and they can't trade him? If they draft a young quarterback, it almost feels like you should definitely trade Julio if you go with a young quarterback, because you're eventually going to be starting over sooner rather than later. And you would want the draft capital of trading a Julio Jones, even though that contract is a nightmare. So I think with Atlanta, not only is who they pick it for interesting, but what that tells us about how they view the future. This Kyle Pitts, you might be saying, okay, like, we still have a really good team here who underperformed last year. The defense does need some help. But if you draft Kyle Pitts, you have Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Kyle Pitts. That's a really good combination. And Calvin Ridley, who's a very good player. And Hayden Hurst, who had a good year last year. So I would think that with that offense, you would try to say, okay, we got 2 years left with Matt Ryan. Let's give it all we got and try to get some playoff wins here.
NFL draft expert, draft insider, Matt Miller with us here, 98.7 ESPN. All right, so let's move to five. I just want confirmation with my mock draft, to be honest with you at this point. Cincinnati, is it going to be Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver, or the offensive lineman, probably Sewell out of Oregon?
I'm just here to make you feel better about your mock draft this morning. I have it Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes,
I do. And I do think it could go either way. And 2 weeks ago, everything I had heard up to that point was Penei Sewell, and then it flipped and went to Ja'Marr Chase. So I would be surprised if it's not three quarterbacks tonight and then three pass catchers, and then all hell breaks loose with the Detroit Lions, because no one knows what to expect there.
Let me ask you a question, and this is, I'm asking you for one of the guys on the show who's a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, and he realizes how bad their defense stinks, and he's like, oh, I can't believe Denver traded for Teddy Bridgewater. Now they're going to take a corner. As far as the two top corners are concerned, Horn and Surtain, who do you have as your highest-ranked corner?
Yeah, I have it Surtain, but, man, they're really, really close. They are. I mean, they're both such good players. I don't know that you could go wrong there, but I do have Surtain rated as my number 7 overall player. I just feel like his tools are better right now. I like J.C. Horn a lot. I think there's some handiness to his game that he's going to have to fix. Like, I almost wish we could take some of these corners and put boxing gloves on them and make them learn how to cover that way. There's just going to be so many holding penalties early in the NFL for them. So I love J.C. Horn. He's going to be a great, great NFL player, I think. But if I had to take just one, it would be Patrick Surtain. And it's unfortunate that Caleb Farley has the injury stuff going on, because I think he would be in that conversation as well if he were healthy.
Matt, you kind of alluded to it as the number 7 overall pick being a pivot point in this year's draft. When we were doing our mock draft, all three of us had the Detroit Lions trading back. Now, we didn't have the teams all the same, but I guess I've got to ask you, do you see that 7th overall pick as the next likeliest spot for a quarterback to come off the board?
Yeah, and that's what's weird is didn't seem that way. It's the Denver trade for Teddy Bridgewater added some clarity almost, you know, like, okay, that I could see it playing out like this now. It's like that domino fell, and then you get some, you know, some ideas. So I do think that I think Denver, Carolina, and Detroit are all teams that could draft a quarterback, even though they made moves this offseason to acquire a guy. I think you're looking at those 7, 8, 9 spots, but also to your point, if you are a team that wants a quarterback, it feels like you should probably try to get there. You should try to get to 7. So whether that's the Patriots, whether it's, you know, Washington, I've heard that they might try to trade up. I think that that team that wants the 5th quarterback or 4th quarterback even really needs to try to get in there.
Matt Miller with us here, 98.7 ESPN, breaking down the draft because he is our draft insider. All right, so 11, the Giants pick. I've heard a lot of rumblings about the Alabama receivers. We think Smith goes 6th to Miami potentially. Is Jalen Waddle the pick there for the Giants, or do they go elsewhere?
So here's the thing, and again, I posted that 7-round mock draft this morning if you guys want to nerd out hardcore. I think Jalen Waddle's gone by this point.
Oh, no.
But the good news for Giants fans, the way that my mock draft fell, Devontae Smith was on the board. So I should have Waddle going before Smith, which even surprised myself, but that's kind of where all the intel was pointing. So I have Devontae Smith available. So I think Giants fans would be really, really happy with that. It's no kidding. One of the best pass catchers in the class and one of the best wide receivers that have come through college football in the last 20 years.
So you had Waddle going to Miami then at 6?
I had Waddle going to Miami, yeah.
God, son of a... Why didn't I look at this? I should have looked at the mock draft before. Idiot. All right, Matt. So, you know, the other part of our... So, we're doing 1 through 11, and then, you know, obviously, because we're here in New York, and I'm a humongous Jets fan, we're going to do 23 as well. I think the Jets need to address the offensive line. That's a huge... Especially with drafting Zach Wilson. There are some mocks that I see them... Because they could use a running back, too. Drafting a running back. Maybe Travis Etienne. How do you see it in... Two-part question. How do you see it in how many running backs do you have in your first round in this year's draft?
Yeah, I wanted to put two in. It's just hard to slot those guys in, and you almost have to have someone like the Jets. You know, we've even heard that maybe the Cardinals could take one if they can't get a wide receiver or a corner. So I just had Najee Harris going to Pittsburgh in the final round one mock, and I really wanted to put Etienne in there. And I have heard that there's some definite interest between the Jets and Travis Etienne, but it's really hard for me to like wrap my head around the idea of Joe Douglas, who's this like O-line guy, spending a first-round pick on a running back. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he says, hey, we want to give Zach Wilson all the help he can get. But I went corner for them. I just think with Robert Saleh's defense coming in, you've got to get some dudes who can play. And the Jets secondary, I mean, there's two young safeties. Well, Marcus, not that young anymore, but there's two good safeties there. The corners have to get better. And I know this defense can cover up a lot of what you would call trait deficiencies. You know, you don't have to have the fastest guys, but man, you got to have smart, instinctive corners. They need that. So Greg Newsome from Northwestern is where I had the Jets going at 23.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it. Matt, I'm a defensive lineman by trade, and it's crazy to think that you don't have any defensive linemen projected to go in the top half of this year's first round. But it doesn't seem like there's any clear consensus on who the top pass rusher in this group is. So I wanted to get your take on what you think this defensive line class is like and who the best guy is in this class.
Yeah, I think it's Christian Barmore from Alabama. You're right. As far as the defensive tackles go, but you're right. It's wild this year that there's not that top 10 pass rusher. So with Christian Barmore, I think he's a very good player. 8.5 sacks last year. He's just starting to scratch the surface of his ability, but he's getting knocked pretty hard for a bad pro day. You hear things about like, oh, maybe he's tough to coach. Well, he's young, so you kind of understand that. As far as the edge rushers go, and I think, you know, depending on what happens tonight, that is in play for the New York Giants. Quiddy Pay from Michigan, probably the best available. I love Jalen Phillips from Miami. A little concerned about the fact that, you know, he had multiple concussions when he was at UCLA, basically had to retire for a year. So with all the pass rushers this year, I feel like you could drive a Mack truck through the holes in their scouting reports, right? Like injury issues, lack of production, you know, even Quiddy Pay, who's 6'2", 260, like that's not the ideal pass rusher build, even though he's incredibly agile, he's a very good athlete. It's still like you would love for him to be 2 inches taller and to play with much better length.
And so, have more production too, right? Not huge sack numbers at
exactly.
Michigan. Yeah.
Exactly. And with, you know, some of that's Michigan's fault, which we could say about a lot of things. They moved him around so much, right, that he never really got to play in one position and learn it. But yeah, Michigan and draft prospects is just a weird situation.
Matt, listen, we appreciate it. I could talk to you all day, but we got to run. We got to do more of our mock draft, and we have a lot coming up. So great stuff. Enjoy all the hits you're going to do on SportsCenter. We look forward to all the hard work you're going to put in and have put in. And thanks for joining us, as you always do. Good stuff.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
That, of course, is Matt Miller, a rising star here at ESPN. That's the NFL Draft Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains can make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle a reality. Stop in, or they'll come to you for an at-home test drive. You can visit pepeautogroup.com to shop all their luxury brands and the Macallan Double Cask 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey, the perfect balance of American and European sherry season oak casks. Two worlds, one Macallan, imported by Edrington Americas. Please enjoy responsibly. All guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear hotline, and Goodyear knows from here on out, they certainly do, that every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. All right, Rick, are we up against it? Do we have to take a break?
No, but you could hear even Matt. I mean, he has no interest in doing mock drafts either. He's like, oh, thank God it's over.
He does sound seven rounds.
He sounds relieved.
But imagine you, Rick, where like every pick that goes wrong, he has a nervous breakdown. He does every pick.
No, I don't. He did all seven rounds, or he just did.
I think he's
got his seventh
rounds.
Version.
No, he did seven rounds.
I think he did
seven
the entire rounds. Draft.
Yeah. No, I couldn't do it. No, I'd be hospitalized. I would be hospitalized.
Go check on room 1312. Why? He's in the fourth round. Oh, hurry up, Valium. Stat. Oh God, why do you look so stressed out today, Stephen? Because Rick's in round five. Oh God, round five. Let me go visit his room. You would be an absolute mess.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
Let's go. 800-919-3776. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. I'm not going to ask if you're ready. I know you guys are ready. So when we get to the calls, right to it. No, hey, guys, love the show. So excited for the draft tonight. Wonderful. Rick, you look great in that little white T-shirt you're wearing. Although I probably shouldn't have told it.
Hey, what's up?
White.
It's Jerry.
It's not a white tank top. It's got a picture of Milo on it. It is a tank top, though. It has a picture of Milo on it.
Oh, I can't see the picture of Milo. Anyhow, I tried to make fun of you. There you go. Adorable. All right. Although it's pitch black in your room right now.
So right?
I could almost see nothing. Let's get to it. 800-919-3776. Heavy NFL questions on draft day. Let's go to Javier in Los Angeles. Javier, lead us off on the frenzy.
What do the Giants need to do in rounds 2 through 4 to best support Daniel Jones and his growth in order to get to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on what they do with the first round pick. Like, if they decide that they're going to go with a pass catcher, then they've got to continue to fortify that offensive line. Like, they could add to that group. It's also a deep corner draft, so maybe adding to the back end of that as well, because I don't think Adoree Jackson is where it begins and ends in terms of your cornerback issues. So I think they've got to continue to support Daniel Jones, and then if you can add a piece on the back end of that defense, that's exactly what you should do.
Yep. Offensive lineman, wide receiver, corner, someone to get to the quarterback. Those are the things the Giants need starting today at 11. All right, well, I don't know if he can go quick and rapid fire. Let's see. Spike, St. Petersburg. Spike, you're next up on the frenzy.
Good morning, my friends. Congratulations on draft day.
I know. Santiago, give him the buzzer. I knew he couldn't do it. I love Spike, but I'm sorry. I knew there was no way he could possibly participate.
And
in
you
frenzy.
Went to him anyway.
Well, he was. What do you mean I went to him?
It doesn't say frenzy next to Spike. You know Spike's not going to call for a frenzy. He's going to call to shoot the you-know-what. He wants to chat.
That's a complete brain fart.
I'll probably
on
get
you.
The number one star for doing that anyway.
You got to know your personnel, side. Rothenberg.
John, you're on the frenzy. Is this my fault that we're not going to John?
Johnny, what's
John,
up?
Good morning. That's on me as well.
Yeah, you ruined the momentum, Dave.
Struggling. I ruined nothing. Scott and Olbridge, please, Scott, save us.
What do the Dolphins do at 6 if Pitts and Chase are off the board and at 18?
I think they still take a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had Matt Miller on. He thinks they take Waddle. Dave and I have them taking Devontae Smith. So
that's right. I think Pitts and Chase will be off the board when the Dolphins go at six, actually. Mike and Bergen. Mike, you're next up on the Frenzy.
Hey, do the Giants need to sign another wide receiver with Golladay on a long-term deal and a few other good route runners and Sterling Shepard? I feel like if they don't have a good guy.
Do they need another receiver?
No, they don't have to have another receiver. I mean, they got enough guys that can do special things when they got the ball in their hands. Like, they just exercised Saquon Barkley's fifth-year option. I get that he's a running back, but he's a big part of their passing game out of the backfield, too. I don't think they need another receiver. It's a nice to have, but it's not a gotta have. To me, protecting Daniel Jones is the most important thing for the Giants.
Let's go to Mike in Holbrook. Good morning, Mike. You're on the Frenzy.
What's the difference with Kyle Pitts this year and O.J. Howard a few years ago?
I think that Kyle Pitts is more dynamic than
better
O.J.
athlete.
Howard.
Yeah, he's a better athlete.
O.J. Howard was more of a—he's more of a complete tight end.
Kyle Pitts is a tight end that's 250 pounds that runs sub 4.4.
Kyle Pitts is considered the best tight end prospect maybe in the history of the draft process.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
just realize that's what we have here.
Yeah, I mean, the only other tight end that I can ever remember having that kind of athleticism, Vernon Davis. And he went with the sixth overall pick.
He went five or six, right?
He went six, yeah. So, I mean, that's the territory that Kyle Pitts is in.
Mike in Maywood. Go ahead, Mike. You're on 98.7.
I want to know if the Giants are moving up or back in the draft. I would like to see him move back and get the center from Bama.
No, I don't think they move back.
You would take the center from Bama unless you move back to, like, the 30s or 40s. But I don't believe they're going to move back.
If they move back, that's going to be for... It would be for a defensive player.
Yeah,
you would figure.
I would agree.
I think there's a good chance you could get the center from Bama with the 42nd overall selection.
Yeah, I mean, it's deep. This draft is deep in offensive line. Like Chris mentioned, it's deep in corner. Unfortunately, those are positions that the Giants need. The one position that they could really use that would help out that defense is an edge pass rusher. But at 11, I don't know if that's...
Yeah, seems a little
that's
early.
Reaching or not.
Matt in Queens. Go ahead, Matt.
Does Tom Brady have one more championship run left in him?
With what Jason Light, their general manager, is doing, bringing back everybody? I mean, all 22 starters and some of the role players? They just re-signed AB yesterday? Yeah. Yeah. I would actually lean toward the Bucs being the favorite coming into this season.
You pick against them because I am not
picking against them ever. You're going to have they're both. The AFC favorite is going to be the same and the NFC favorite will be the same. As it was last year.
Yep.
Well, no, I mean,
you could get a rematch in the Super Bowl. I don't think you'd be shocked by it by any stretch. Danny Long Island. Go ahead, Danny. Finish off the Frenzy here.
Good morning. Good morning, boys. Christopher, my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. Left tackle, running back, or cornerback? Who are we picking?
Running back. You got to go running back. The only other position I could see them trying to upgrade the offensive line, because that group is getting a little bit old. But I think they go running back. I think they go Najee Harris out of Alabama.
Well, that's what Matt Miller said as well. All right, Santy, blow it dead. Other than the little blip of Spike getting into full conversation, I thought that was a very well done and well executed Frenzy.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Rick, if I go 12 for 12, 1 through 11 and pick 23, and I get them all right, and the trade with Washington happens and everything goes exactly as I claim, will you give me $1,000?
No.
Why?
Why would I give you $1,000 if you...
All right.
No.
It's a great point.
All right. Will you tweet out, Rothenberg is a genius?
No, I don't tweet.
Why? Come on. If I go perfect through all my picks.
If you go perfect,
if you
I will,
go
yes.
perfect through all
yes.
your picks, I will tweet out, DiPietro is an absolute genius.
Okay, I'll do it. Yeah, that's fine. Deal.
Okay.
Dave Rothenberg is a genius. I will tweet out. Yeah.
Chris, you in?
Yeah, I'm in, Dave. If you get them all right.
Yep.
Absolutely. Across all social media platforms, not just Twitter, Dave.
Instagram, everything.
Instagram, Facebook.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Snapface.
Rothenberg is a genius.
All of that.
Snapface, instant chat, or whatever.
Exactly. All of that.
Before we get into these ridiculous picks, did you guys happen to see what happened in the Milwaukee game? The Brewers-Marlins game?
That was one of the most embarrassing calls that I've seen in baseball.
Maybe ever, Dave.
Embarrassing. I explain to the people what happened, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know.
Okay, so there's a slow roller up the first baseline. Pitcher fields the ball, And he's not in the base. Like, he's on the edge of the inside of the baseline. Throws the ball the first. Out.
Runner, all of a sudden, runner, up, just to interrupt you quickly, nowhere near the base
nowhere
at
near.
This moment. Nowhere
no,
near.
Didn't run into him. No, didn't run into him. It wasn't a close play. He was going to be out. And it wasn't even a question. Okay, out. All of a sudden, you look at the first base umpire, and he's ruling that the pitcher who just fielded the ball interfered with the runner going to first base and called him safe.
It was... I've watched it like 4 or 5 times, and every time I got angrier and angrier because it was such a hideous call.
The officiating has been, I mean, the umpiring, the officiating basketball, it's been awful.
It is getting worse and worse and worse. It really was egregious yesterday. All right, I see what you're trying to do. And it's well done by you. You will do anything to try and deflect and not do 9 through 11 and 23.
He's a
and
master a lesser at host, it, Dave. He's a master at it,
yeah,
isn't he?
A lesser host might start to get into conversation and play Jacob deGrom or somebody like that. But no, not me, not today. It's draft day. Pick 9. Rick, I believe you're up, correct?
I am up. That is correct, David. All right, with the 9th overall selection. So let's remember, in my mock draft, I had Denver trading up to 7 and Detroit moving back to pick number 9. So with the 9th overall pick, the kneecap-biting Detroit Lions select left tackle out of Oregon, Penei Sewell.
I got to tell you, if they were to trade back to 9 and still get the top offensive lineman in the draft, that would be a pretty good job by your Detroit Lions. I don't have a trade in that spot. I have Denver making that selection. And I know that they acquired Teddy Bridgewater. And I know that they still have Drew Lock. But I don't care. I'm going to take 9th overall. John Elway will run to the podium and hand the card to the commissioner, and they will take from the Ohio State University quarterback, Justin Fields.
I hear where you're going with that, Dave. I don't know if John Elway's running anywhere with a quarterback selection just because he's shown he's not good at picking them. But with the 9th overall pick, I've got the Denver Broncos taking cornerback out of Alabama, Patrick Surtain the second. I just feel like it fits a need. They've tried to upgrade that secondary this offseason with some moves that they went out and made. I think they continue to stay with that. That is really a complete defense. I think they make a strength even stronger by adding to that secondary.
Kind of like that pick, too, especially after the Teddy Bridgewater trade. Son of a...
The Teddy Bridgewater right. trade that I actually called, too, by the way, earlier
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, look at you.
Oh,
yeah, you're the best.
You.
Canty's the best. That's what happens when you're on the show for a full week. Good things happen.
Well played.
All right, here we go with the 10th overall pick. And in conjunction with my Dallas Cowboys insider, Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys will select corner J.C. Horn.
I like it. How much conversation did you have with Santiago before you made that selection?
Quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Did he
use corner?
The theory of Joe Horn and Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy, yes.
Yeah. He went all the way back with that for you?
He's in depth. He's very in depth.
Yeah. He covers it very well, very beautifully. With the 10th overall selection, the Dallas Cowboys, I wish they could mess this thing up. I agree with Rick. I think they will take corner J.C. Horn. And I still have Surtain on the board, but I don't care. I think the Cowboys go with Horn and get what they look as the highest upside for any corner in this draft.
Yeah, guys. It's unanimous. The DCR mock draft, we've all got the Cowboys taking J.C. Horn. They're getting the band back together. They might as well make Aaron Brooks the quarterback coach while they're at it. I got them going defense. They need to address their defense. They were historically bad last year, and the biggest sore spot on that defense is in their secondary.
All right, here we go. Dave Gettleman in the classy New York Giants.
That's
maybe the
right.
classiest organization in all professional
class,
sports.
All class, baby.
We're
going to
do everything with class.
We do things
we are the Giants.
We are the Giants, and we're wicked good at making draft picks. And with the 11th overall pick... Although I think it should be offensive line, I'm not sure that's what they do. They're going to go with Alabama wide receiver, Jalen Waddle.
Now, this is upsetting to me because I have real conviction with this one. I am telling you right now that I would be stunned if the Giants do not take an Alabama receiver if one is on the board at 11. So I don't have Devontae Smith there. I do have Jalen Waddle with the 11th selection in the first round, 40 years after they took the great Lawrence Taylor back in 1981. The New York Football Giants will select, out of Alabama, Jalen Waddle.
I've tried in the past.
Well, we kind of see it the same way because I got him taking an Alabama pass catcher too. But you guys had Devontae Smith off the board at 6 to Miami. I didn't. I am going with Devontae Smith for the New York Football Giants. And I love this because Devontae Smith is one of those receivers in this draft that can play the X spot as well as the slot. They did sign an X receiver in Kenny Golladay, but Devontae Smith has shown on tape that he can play the slot and he's really proficient at it. So I like the fit. I like the intangibles that he's bringing, leadership qualities to that locker room. And I think it's going to be a lot of synergy between him and Joe Judge. So Devontae Smith, another weapon to help Daniel Jones.
I'm not getting fleeced.
No, you don't got to worry about that, Dave Gettleman. You're getting a good football player.
If you can't play the slot, that's a you problem. Here we go with the final pick of the DCR 2021 NFL mock draft with the 23rd selection. And I wanted to, but I couldn't do it. I wanted to go Alex Leatherwood.
E-T-E Jets.
Because I think that's a terrific last name, Leatherwood. I got issues. We all realize that. I decided to go with offensive line. I decided to go with offensive line. I am going with tackle out of Oklahoma State. Oh, I hate one you. Tevin Jenkins.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I actually dislike you at this very moment. I wanted to go with the kid from USC. I just don't think that Vera Tucker is going to be there at 23. Otherwise, I think the Jets would take him. It's anticlimactic at this point, but I also will take left tackle, 23-year-old, out of Oklahoma State, Tevin Jenkins for the New York Jets.
Has played a lot of right tackle, too, which is why I selected him.
Yeah, and that kid's got some nasty in him, too.
Oh,
he's got
a
mean streak. Yeah,
a good pick.
Yeah, I like Tevin Jenkins, too, but the Jets can't ignore this need. I know offensive line is still an area that they've got to be really concerned about, especially with taking Zach Wilson second overall. But they've got to be even more concerned about their cornerback situation with Bless Austin and Bryce Hall. There's no way they can feel like those two guys should be their top two corners. So they're going to draft Greg Newsom II, cornerback, out of Northwestern.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
Yeah, I think I got the school right this time. But no, I like Greg Newsom. I think he can play in man coverage. He can play in zone coverages. And you got a defensive-minded head coach. You'd like to think that, you know, he'd like to get that defense retooled. And Greg Newsom's going to be a big part of that. So I got him taking corner with the 23rd overall pick. They might even try to move up to get Greg Newsom, get in front of some teams that need cornerbacks that are ahead of them. So, yeah, I could see that happening as well.
And there you have it. Rick, the first ever DCR mock draft is now in the books. That wasn't so bad. You enjoyed that. Be honest.
No,
you
I hated it every second.
Greatly.
I hated it last year when we did it. We did it last year and I hated it.
We did a full mock draft last year?
We did a mock draft last year, yeah. And I remember doing it because we were going... Yeah, we did it because I remember going back and forth with what we were going to do with Tua and Justin Herbert.
I think didn't we have Miami taking Tristan Wirfs? I think we did that.
I don't remember.
No, I had Miami
last year, so I have
no idea. I had Miami still taking Tua.
You had him taking Tua?
I got the quarterbacks right, but other than that, I think it was a crapshoot.
Mm. I think I could go perfect tonight. I think there's a pretty good chance of that.
No, here's the problem, though, because I got a lot of the same picks as you. Now I got to almost root for you to do well.
That's right.
Until we get to that pivot point at 7.
We're the 7, 8, 9 range where we really differ.
Here's the thing, though, too, which I think is interesting, that we talked about a little bit, but I think you should watch for tonight, is that one nugget that I heard, which I thought was really interesting, was that a lot of these GMs are valuing next year's draft picks more than they would value this year's draft picks.
Well, because you'll have a better idea next year
exactly.
than this year.
Exactly. So if that's the case, will you see more trades? Because now all of a sudden you got teams that are like, okay,
you might.
You can move up, but I want some of those 2022 picks.
Which makes me even more hesitant for Bill Belichick to move up because he's smarter than anybody anyway.
Yeah, but in reality, he doesn't really value first round picks if his team's going to be good.
No.
We'll see.
So, I mean, this is the time. I mean, and you got Cam Newton on a 1-year deal, right? This would be the time to address the position. Makes sense. You just went out and spent a ton of money, and you can keep spending a ton of money because you're going to have a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal.
Absolutely, you will. All right, let's get some calls. 800-919-3776. We have Smith Waddle going in our mock draft to the New York Giants at 11 overall. 800-919-3776. Two of us have the offensive lineman going to the Jets at 23. Chris has the corner from Northwestern. So let's get some calls. 800-919-3776. Now, 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. On Thursday, May the 6th, we're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in all of baseball, featuring Alex Rodriguez, Matt Vasgersian, Buster Olney, and it's all hosted. The whole thing is hosted by the great Don LaGreca, an exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball, and we'll give away some great prizes as well. To score your VIP access, be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. Again, be the first caller right now, 888-987-3776. Clubhouse Confidential presented by PC Richard & Son and 98.7 ESPN. And DCR is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Guess who KJZ has coming up at 8:10? I'll give you a little hint. It's a quarterback with local flavor. 8:10 this morning. So you looked?
No, I didn't look.
Of course, quarterback. Of course
stop
you looked.
Why else
you
bring it up?
Dave?
Stop.
Come
it.
On, man.
I mean, come
Let's
on. That's embarrassing.
You asked me the question.
You looked. Somebody told you to stop.
I looked
it.
On the. I looked on the rundown.
Oh, look at what has happened! I mean, your history, your track record says that you cheat in knowing who's going to come up on KJZ.
Yes.
So this is what you've done again, and you're going to try to lie again.
I plead the fifth. I can't confirm or deny that I had the.
I mean, you were so confident. You were so. I mean, it could have been Mark Sanchez. It could have been Phil Sims. It could have been Eli Manning. But right
why don't
away,
we get Phil Sims? Why don't we have Phil Sims on the show?
Every
time I hear Phil Sims on the show, I think he's great.
He is great.
But can't you pull some strings to get Phil on? He's hilarious too.
I think he follows me on Twitter. I think I could send him a DM.
There you go.
Slide into his DM. See if we can get Phil on.
Let me see. What our Twitter situation is.
And plus, he'd like it, too, because he could stick it to Boomer, because Boomer's always busting his chops.
Oh, I would be very...
works out perfectly.
Revered the great... I can. I'm going to send him a note in just a moment.
Slide right into those DMs.
I'm going to invite him on the show tomorrow.
Hey, by the way, too, you ate up my entire Knobservation segment today, like, just because that's what you do. Like, you'll do it to 3 stars, too, to Santiago, because you're selfish like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys happen to see what Dalvin Cook was considering with the whole jersey thing? Did you guys read that story yet?
No. I saw what Alvin Kamara was considering, but I didn't see Dalvin Cook.
Okay,
no.
So Dalvin Cook was thinking about going from 33 to 4 with the new rule change. He wanted to change his number. You may hate it, but a lot of these guys love going back to the number they wore in college or high school, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full go until he realized that it was going to cost him $1.5 million.
He's got to buy all the jerseys.
To buy all number 33 jerseys.
Cost him $1.5 million?
Yeah, he's got to buy all of the jerseys that are out there in circulation, all of the Dalvin Cook jerseys, number 33, in order to switch numbers.
Well, all the remaining jerseys in circulation?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So I think it's fair to say he's not going to be wearing number 4 this coming season.
No.
Needless to say, he'll be number 33 this upcoming season.
and for a very long time. Now, is that if you change to any number?
Yeah, if you change your number.
If you change your number.
Yeah. Like, I think Paul George had to go through the same thing when he changed to 13.
Wow, that's wild. That's a lot. So, do you feel, I know you don't think it's the move to make, Chris, but you feel confidently that the Giants go with one of the Alabama receivers if either of them are on the board at 11?
Yeah, Dave, and here's the thing. I have a lot less trepidation if it's Devontae Smith than if it's Jalen Waddle. Something about Jalen Waddle I just don't trust. Like, I understand people are comparing him to Tyreek Hill and saying that he's the fastest player in this draft with the ball in his hands. That's all well and good. But, I mean, speed doesn't always equate to being a success in the NFL. Otherwise, the Giants wouldn't have John Ross on their roster. He'd still be with the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, he's a guy that ran 4.22, and everybody was like, oh, he's going to be great, and it didn't work out. So I'm not saying that Jalen Waddle's going to be a bust. I'm just more confident in what Devontae Smith brings to the table and that he's going to be a guy that can help Daniel Jones very early in his career.
You see what segment they're doing on KJH right now?
Oh, come on, man.
take it or shake it, baby.
Come on,
take
man.
It or shake it.
Come on.
I want
man.
You to sing it, Chris.
Why do you do it? Why do you?
You miss
do it?
I know you miss it.
No,
you love that segment.
No, I don't love that segment, and I don't miss that. No.
Take it. Take it.
Why do you
love it? I have some terrible
it?
News for you right now, Rick. Some terrible news.
I already read it. It's awful news.
McShay has come out with his final mock draft. I mean, it is hot off the presses. Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, Trey Lance 3.
Very I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen.
Very
My original mock draft is going to be the best one. You're right. It's going to happen.
You put too much thought into it, Rico.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday. So.
You're like an NFL team. Like, you have too much time, you're going to convince yourself the opposite of what you initially wanted to go with.
I'm disgusted right now. Disgusted.
I'm saying we're going to. If we afforded you the opportunity, would you change anything in your mock right now?
I'm looking at my mock draft right now. So this is, I'm not even lying. I swear to you, hand of God, this is the original mock draft.
Give us the original. RJ, okay, write down his original just so we can see it go perfect tonight, and we'll make fun of it tomorrow. Go ahead.
Okay, I have Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Pitts, Sewell, Chase, Smith, Slater, Fields, Surtain.
And 11?
I didn't
Who's 11?
You didn't do 11?
You just did the top 10?
I scrapped it. I scrapped it before I got to 11 because I didn't decide what I wanted to do at 11.
You got through 10 and you were like, no, I'm not going to do this.
That's a pretty good. That's a pretty good draft though, Rico. That's pretty good.
I think we all did well. I think we all did well. I can't wait for this thing tonight. I really can't. All right, listen, the last thing I want to do is stand in the way of Santiago and having enough time for his 3 stars after you so inappropriately called me out, Rick. But I will give him more than enough time. Santi, 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR.
Before I get to star number 3, I will again point out how you just were terrible during Football Frenzy going the poor Spike.
I was not awful. He was on the board. I went to someone on the board.
But you even said going to him that you knew what you were going to get from
no,
him.
No, I thought so. I don't envision Spike being quick, but
and you
I
went
thought
to
maybe
him,
if he was
and
prepared
went
for the frenzy
anyway.
Today, he could have been.
You went it, to him anyway.
You're right. Blame me. I thought this is the best 3 things we have of the day.
I didn't mention 3 stars yet.
Number 3.
Now we can start. Star number 3 is going to go to the clock integrity that allows us to have the 3-star segment. Not enough of an observation segment, but hey, listen, I got to take my victories where I can with you. So thank you for getting to 3 stars on time today.
You're very
number
welcome.
2.
Number 2. I thoroughly enjoyed our mock draft today. I thought it was a lot of fun. I know not everyone on the show has the same opinion, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm pumped up for the draft tonight, which brings us to
number 1.
Number 1 is definitely the real NFL draft. To quote Kyle Shanahan, I don't know if we're all going to be alive by the time this finishes, but I'm excited. We all know what pick 1, pick 2 are going to be. Draft starts with pick 3. RJ's excited for San Francisco, I'm sure. I'm waiting to see how Dallas screws up at number 10. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a great time.
Oh, my God.
I got to be honest, and I'm sure Rick feels the same way. Chris, I don't think you do. I don't know why. I'm always anxious with this. Like, I'm very nervous. I'm excited. I'm anxious. This is as close to feeling like it's a game day as a fan as you get until we get to September.
I don't know why you don't feel like I'm that excited about it, Dave.
I don't think you're nervous. I think you're excited. I'm nervous. I know Rick is a nervous mess. I think like you're cool, calm, and collected. You're fine.
Yeah. I'm not as nervous for the Giants. Like, I feel like the Giants are in a really good spot. And I said that after the free agency period that Dave Gettleman had. Like, they didn't come into the draft with any glaring needs. There are some things that they could do to fortify their roster. But, I mean, they weren't any huge holes, which is why I feel good about where they're at.
Let's play a quick game. Giants take Rashawn Slater. You feel great about it, right?
Great. It's a freaking home run.
Jalen Waddle, you feel great about it?
No.
No. Good?
No.
You don't like the pick of Jalen Waddle?
No, I don't like the pick at all.
Wow.
No.
Devontae Smith, you would love.
I feel good about, yes.
Patrick Surtain for the Giants.
Good, yeah.
Not getting fleeced.
J.C. Horn for the Giants.
Good.
I tried in the past.
Solid.
So Waddle's the one guy, and the one guy that I think they take that you do not like at 11 overall.
No, exactly. Yep.
That means they'll definitely take Waddle. All right. Enjoy the draft. You can watch it on ABC, ESPN. Listen to it right here on 98.7 ESPN. KJZ, Chad Pennington at 8:10 this morning. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPH, Canty Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.